I'm turning now on the Word of God to the book of Proverbs in the middle of your Bibles, the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, and reading verse 26. Proverbs chapter 23 and reading verse 26. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. A very brief and short verse, and my title for this message this morning is Surrendering the Heart. This request, indeed this command, I'll explain a bit later what I mean by a command and request at the same time, but this request is really distinctive to the Christian message. You will not find it in any other man-made religion. Any other religion, without exception, Buddhism, Islam, pick any religion you want. It doesn't ask you of this. In fact, you can be born into any other religion. And you can, well, for example, the good things that I am exhorted to do in other religions, count beads or go to certain places. Well, it's like taking off a jacket and putting it on when it's convenient. It's very much outward, an outward thing. Only the Bible, only the Christian faith tells us, I want your heart. I want your affections. Those things that you love most, I want your heart. Your outward works mean nothing to me without your heart. I want your affections. I want your desires. Only the Bible tells us this. It's a religion. It's a true religion. It's a message of the heart. And what a tender and sympathetic call this is. Look at it. Verse 26. My son, you can equally put there my daughter, because it's an address to all of us. My son, my daughter, give your heart to me. Give it to me. It's a very sympathetic and tender call, but it's also very direct and upfront. God is being very honest and direct and upfront with us. And what he's asking for is massive. There's nothing greater that anyone could ask for. He's asking for your heart. And when the Bible speaks of the heart, it's not just speaking about my feelings. When the Bible describes, when it mentions the word heart, it's speaking about my entire makeup inwardly. It's talking about my ambitions, my hopes, my reasoning, my thinking, and my emotions, everything. God is saying, give it all to me. It's a great ask. Like that hymn that we sometimes sing. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. The love of Christ, the love of God is so amazing, it demands my entire life. Well, let's consider what this means to give our hearts to God and the implications of it. First of all, we'll consider what it means to give our hearts to Christ. It doesn't sound like a command in this verse. It sounds like an appeal, and it is, but it's both. My son, give me thy heart, my heart. In other places, though, in the Bible, it's a command as well. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're commanded in the New Testament to obey the gospel. And the gospel is the good news of salvation, that Christ has come to this world to suffer and to die for sinners and to bring us to salvation, to bring us to the Father, to bring us to heaven. It's a command. You must obey the gospel for the sake of your soul. God commands it. Because he won't take any pleasure in condemning anyone to hell. He doesn't want to do it. It's not in his heart to do so. Therefore, he commands us to obey the gospel. And this requires surrendering my heart to him. I must surrender my heart, my ambitions, my desires. I must give it all to him. But what does this mean to give my heart to God? Well, it means that knowing him, when I come to know him as my Savior, when he becomes my God, and I have a relationship with him, this is more important than anything else in my life. Everything else in my life pales into significance compared to this one grand truth, that I know him, that I have a personal relationship with him, that I've been forgiven by him, and that one day I will see him. This far surpasses anything else I will do in life. All my feelings and desires and hopes are bound up in this grand truth. Yes, I enjoy other things in this world, and I can appreciate life and what it has to offer, but compared to what I now have in Christ, all these things are so much smaller and so a far distant secondary issue compared to this grand truth that I now know him. And it's evident that when this actually happens to a person, it becomes so obvious. The person is so different compared to how he or she used to be. The way they think is entirely different. The way they behave is entirely different. They have new tastes. They have new desires. Everything is different. And many people are deceived concerning this very issue. Many people who call themselves, in inverted commas, religious, many people who call themselves religious, maybe they go to church when they feel like it, and they do good things. I give money to this charity. I even give money to the church, perhaps. I do many good things. And I think because I do these things and I'm religious, that all is well. Well, this is a great deception, because although I may tick the boxes in all these areas, if my heart, my affections, my desires, if they don't belong to God, I'm only fooling myself. Because God demands and requires that my heart, my desires, my affections, my loves, my tastes, they must belong to him. I must give them to him. If I don't do this, none of these other things matter. All my church attendance, none of these things will matter. I must give. I must surrender my heart to him. For example, there are many, and this used to be me, I used to be a hypocrite, a religious hypocrite, so I know about these things. I used to think I was a Christian when I never was. And I had an outward profession of faith, but my heart and my desires were hijacked by this world. It's this world that I loved far more than God. This is the case with many people now. And it's always been the case. Many professors of religion, yet people, for example, they feel far more at home in the company of swearing and drinking than they do with God's people. And they may feel, well, the Hollywood and the entertainment industry, these things excite me far more than the Bible and prayer. They may not admit it. They may not say that. But in comparison to what this world offers, I think the Bible and prayer and Bible studies, these things are boring. I'm not interested in these things. And these are people who profess to know the Lord. These are those who profess to have faith. Why is this the case? Because they haven't surrendered their hearts to God. They may do religious things, but they haven't obeyed this command and appeal and request. My son, my daughter, give your heart to me. I want all of it. I want your whole heart. I don't want nothing less. Give your heart to me. So there are many religious people, but there are not many who've actually surrendered their hearts to Almighty God. And as a result, they don't have God's Spirit in their hearts. Because once the Spirit of God enters within, then I do have spiritual tastes. For the first time, I can taste God. Not in a literal sense, but I can taste and I can appreciate spiritual truths, which I've never experienced before. Spiritual things excite my soul far more than the things of this world, and that requires a miracle, friends, because we're sinners. So my son, give me my heart. My son, my daughter, surrender your heart to me. But now we look at the implications of this request and command. My son, give me thine heart, your heart. What are the implications? Well, first of all, I need to realize this. If I have not given my heart to God, then my heart has already been stolen. Did you know that? Your heart doesn't belong to you. Your heart's not your own. Your heart has actually already been stolen by someone else or something else. There's no middle ground here. My heart either belongs to God or it belongs to this world. There's no middle ground. Your heart has already been stolen. It's been taken. And this verse, among many other verses in the scriptures, warns us that this is eternally dangerous. This is a fatal mistake to make, to have your heart and your affections and desires taken away, snatched from you by this world. And we'll look at some reasons why this is the case. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that there's something fundamentally wrong with this world. It's so easy. You look at this world system and you can see that it's not governed by honest and sincere motives. By surveying the chaos and the war and the bloodshed and the corruption and the suffering around me, and you think of, for example, things like the global drug trade raking in billions to the suffering of the most vulnerable in society, and the drug and the human slave sex trafficking and all these things, and how people, even those in high places, are involved in these things. And you think of the government policies around the world attacking family values, attacking the things that build and help society, and the war against the innocence of children. That's happening globally in many places. The war of taking away children's innocence. I'm not going to go into detail, but this is happening in schools now. But this is what's happening. And you see how many dangerous things are promoted and glorified in the entertainment industry. Violence and filthy things are glorified and promoted. And we wonder why the children in society are doing such dangerous. There's other reasons as well. It's not the only reason. Bad examples and so on. But the things that are pumping into people's minds, the violent games, and we wonder why this world is the way it is. So it's obvious, when we think about it, that actually there's a malevolent and evil force guiding this world's attitude and the things it does. There's an evil and malevolent force guiding these things. And this is exactly what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches from cover to cover that it's Satan. Satan is guiding the fashion industry. He's guiding the entertainment industry. He's increasingly getting into the schools. He's guiding this world. That's what the Bible teaches. And yet, the frightening thing is before conversion, before we give our hearts to God, my heart belongs to this world. My heart has been snatched by this world. That's what makes matters worse. The devil isn't upfront with me. He doesn't ask me for my heart. He's not honest with me. No, he'll steal it from me without realizing it. He'll steal my affections. He will steal my desires away from the hope of eternal life and forgiveness and knowing the Lord. He will do it by stealth. We're capable of doing such cruel things without God's grace. What the human heart is capable of. And sometimes you see extremes from time to time when you read the newspapers. You think of how the most vulnerable people in society can be so abused and scammed. You think of maybe pensioners being scammed out of their pension by these crooks and so on. And you think of how children are taken, well, they're kidnapped and they're lured in by sweets and other things. The cruelty that we see, especially today, never cruelty on a level that we've never seen before. Well, this is the type of cruelty that Satan employs with me and you before we're converted. He doesn't appeal to your reason. He doesn't give you reasons. He doesn't appeal to your mind. No, what he will do, because he knows that I'm a sinner, because he knows that I'm a rebel against God, he will appeal to my worst desires. He will inflame my desires, my base desires. He says to me, there's nothing to worry about. Don't worry about all this religious nonsense. Don't worry about all this. This is just pie in the sky. You don't need to worry about. Don't worry about when your conscience troubles you. Just switch on the TV and just don't bother about these things. There is no God. There is no heaven and hell. No, this world has been brought about by just a massive accident, a cosmic burp that happened over a billion years ago. It's all an accident. There's no rhyme and reason to existence. You can just enjoy yourself and not worry about what happens when you die. This is what Satan says. He forces this upon us. Don't worry about God. And in the process of stealing the hope of eternal life from us, this is what he does. He steals the hope of me seeking the Lord. What does he give in exchange? Well, micro-sized moments of pleasure, yes. But it doesn't last. These things, the pleasures of sin, they're so short-lived. no lasting satisfaction, no real purpose, no hope, no real hope and joy for the future. Instead, a continual sense of frustration. That's what you'll feel, dear friends, if you give your heart to this world, a continual sense of disappointment and frustration. Because no matter what I have, no matter what things I accumulate in this life, in this world, no matter how many pleasures I have at my disposal, I will never be satisfied. I'll always want more. There'll be this frustration and disappointment. All the while, Satan is destroying, and my own heart, it's been destroyed. My heart has been stolen. My desires have been hijacked. That's what's happening. It's so dishonest. I'm becoming more proud. I'm becoming more selfish. The stranglehold of greed is taking over me so that I just live for material things. And this makes me quite a monster in regards to other people. I treat other people with contempt and I become more selfish. This is what greed does. This is what happens when you give your heart to this world. There is a rotting. There's a moral rotting when I give my heart to the world. And I said, there's only two options. Either you give your heart to the Lord or this world. It's not my own. It doesn't belong to myself. I'm easily deceived. To give your heart to this world, dear friends, is so dehumanizing. I deface increasingly the image of God. God has put his very image into us. We are the highest pinnacle of his creation. And by giving my desires and affections to cheap and to sinful things, it's dehumanizing. It's a mockery to who I am as someone who is made in God's image. Satan treats me like an animal. He appeals to my worst appetites so that I end up being governed by these things. Imagine, this is a crazy illustration, but you'll know where I'm going with this. Imagine the madness, someone who's a billionaire perhaps, who has so much money, and he wants to donate a great deal of money to a good cause. In the society I've done so well, I want to give back, and I want to give millions of dollars or pounds back to a certain cause. I've decided I'm going to make a donation to the drug cartels around the world, in Mexico and so on. I'm going to give millions and millions of pounds to the drug cartels. I want to give back to society. I want to, what? No one would ever do that. Even we can't even think of the most wicked person would do such a stupid and foolish thing. Give money, give millions of pounds to those who are doing the most harm in the world, who are destroying the lives of the most miserable. You want to donate money to them? How foolish, how crazy. But this is what we do spiritually. This is what each and every one of us are guilty of spiritually before we give our hearts to the Lord. We end up giving our hearts to a cause, and it's the cause of Satan. I end up giving my heart to the cause of something which is so unimaginable evil and wicked. Satan takes my heart to destroy me, not to bless me, and he uses this world in various ways. I'm giving my heart to the cause of Satan and his kingdom, if I reject the Lord. And Christ himself says this in the New Testament. On one occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ says, he that is not with me is against me. If you're not in my kingdom, if you're not in my kingdom serving my interests, then you're actually opposing me. You're against me. You're waging war against me if you're not in my kingdom. There's no gray area here. I'm either in Christ's kingdom or Satan's kingdom. And if I'm not in Christ's kingdom, I'm his enemy. I'm waging war against him. This verse, it's such an important verse. It's really the heartbeat of the Christian faith. My son, verse 26, give me thy heart. Can't you see if you read between the lines what God is saying, what Christ is saying here? If you read between the lines, it's obvious. Give me your heart, otherwise it'll be stolen. That's what he's saying in this verse. My son, my daughter, give your heart to me. Otherwise, it'll be stolen. Otherwise, you'll be deceived. It's guaranteed that this will give it to me. I won't allow that to happen if you give me your heart. Do you want your humanity to be stripped from you? Do you want to be treated like a lab rat, like an animal? Do you want to be experimented with, manipulated, deceived by the enemy of souls? Do you want to be deceived by, is that what you want? Give your heart to me. I promise that won't happen if you give your heart to me. Give it to me. Elsewhere in the Proverbs we read, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. This world promises you freedom. It promises you liberty. It promises that you can do whatever you wish. It doesn't tell you of the consequences. It tells you that you can be happy without God. And all these, dear friends, I promise you, all these are vain and empty promises. They will not come to pass. And we see this on every hand. My soul is being destroyed. I'm on my way to hell. And Christ says to us in this verse, come to me. Give your heart to me. I have your best interests at heart. Why would you want to destroy yourself when I can give you life, when I can give you forgiveness, when I can protect you lifelong? Give it to me. Trust me. This is what this verse is saying. I'm honest with you. I'm upfront with you. I'll be perfectly honest with you. And I will say to you that if you do come to me, yes, sacrifices are involved. Not concerning salvation. I will do that all for you. I will pay for your salvation entirely. But if you do come to me, yes, I'm honest with you, and scriptures teach us elsewhere, sacrifices are involved. You'll have to give me your heart, and I want all of it, not some of it. I want all of your heart. I want your desires. I want your ambitions. I want your plans. I want all of these things. And if you give them to me, then I'll crown them with dignity and honor. It'll be the greatest thing that you can do. I want them because I want what's best for you. Christ doesn't benefit from saving us. Of course, he loves us and he has pity upon us, but it's all gain for us. It's for our good. It's for us. It's for our blessing. He wants to give us a noble life, a life worth living for, a fruitful life, a life which will bless others. All my affections and desires and plans and reasoning will be bound up in me and my kingdom. And this is worthy of appreciation and affection. In giving my heart to Christ, I will experience a freedom and a joy and a peace which cannot be described. I've experienced it as a Christian, and you can speak to any true Christian in this room and they will tell you the same thing. There's nothing like coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and having your sins forgiven. The flooding of joy and peace which flows into your heart. But you must make it personal. You must give your, have you given your heart to him yet? Or are you just religious? Coming to church, going through the religious motions, but your heart really belongs to this world. It doesn't belong to Christ. Oh, friends, why would you just stay on the peripheral when Christ can bless you and liberate you? My love and my grace, he says in this verse, my love and my grace, my blessing which I give to you, makes the cheap thrills of sin in this world as nothing in comparison. Don't be afraid of giving up your old life. This is what keeps many people from seeking the Lord or coming to Christ. Don't be afraid of giving up your old life. I don't want to give up my independence. I don't want to give up my life. This is a big ask. Don't let Satan persuade you that if you give up your life, if you give your heart to Christ, you'll give up your freedoms. You'll give up your pleasures. Friends, you don't have any freedom without Christ. It's not freedom, I promise you. I can guarantee that if you, and I can speak on the authority of the Bible, that if you come to Christ, you'll experience what true freedom is. If the Son sets you free, Christ's own words, you shall be free indeed. I am come that they might have life and life more abundantly. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. These things don't exist without Christ. Sadly, dear friends, most people will reject this offer. How tragic. I hope no one in this room will be guilty of this. But most people in the world will actually reject this offer. It's the kindest and most wonderful call ever. It's exactly the same as what Christ was saying in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor. In other words, being hounded by the guilt of sin. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace and the meaning and purpose in life that you are seeking after. Come to me. I will give it all to you. Give me your heart. give it all. But most people will reject this, and there's a massive reason why. It requires humility. That's why. I must realize that I can't manage my own affairs without the Lord. I can't manage my own affairs. I can do nothing without him. I make a mess of my life. I'll spoil my own life and the life of others around me without him. I can't even trust my own heart. It's that wicked. Now, this is a very hard pill to swallow. And this is why so many won't seek Christ. Because Christ says, give your heart to me. It's filthy. It's a shambles. It's wrecked. Give it to me. I don't like to hear a message like, I find this quite offensive. How dare you say that my heart is sinful and wicked? But friends, for those who truly seek and find the Lord, we all have to eat humble pie. I've done it, and everyone who comes to the Lord has to come through this way. I realize that my heart, don't deceive yourself, friends. Understand the truth that I am fallen, I am a sinner, and I desperately need my heart to be changed, to be given to the Savior. My heart is in a dangerous state, and the state of my heart will determine my eternity. If I give it to the Lord, my soul is safe. I will be in heaven with him one day. But it's only getting worse without him. So the Lord Jesus Christ appeals through this verse, for the sake of your soul, for the sake of your eternity, for the sake of your blessing and your, give your heart to me. I will cleanse it. I will repair it. I will renovate it. I will protect it. Lifelong. You won't be perfect in this life. You'll still be vulnerable to sins, but I will make sure that sin never has the domineering governance in your heart again. And those who come to Christ experience this. Yes, we fail the Lord. We do fall into sin. We're not perfect, but God does such a wonderful work of grace in our hearts that we're so different compared to how we used to be. And we have such liberty to love and obey the Lord. Why should I give my heart to God? Well, there are so many reasons. He is my creator. He gives me the very air that I breathe. I owe him everything. But in closing, I give you the following reason why you must give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of what he's done. It cost God so much to do this. We deserve to be condemned to hell. We treat our God like trash. He gives us everything. He gives us parents. He gives us life and breath. He gives us eyes to see. And do we thank him for it? We treat him as a stranger. We treat him so with such hostility. And so for this, we deserve to be punished. But Christ, the Father and the Spirit, looked upon our lost state and was moved with such pity and compassion. And they have formulated a plan of salvation. And 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was suffering and dying on that Roman cross, when the nails in his hands and his feet were hammered through on that cross, when he was bleeding and dying in a pain which cannot be described, not only physically but spiritually, he did it for me. He was punished on that cross so that I don't have to go to hell. It's free. There's nothing you can do to earn it. No amount of church attendance. I just come and I fall at the foot of the cross as a needy sinner, begging for salvation. Lord Jesus, I'm a wretched sinner. I cannot manage my own affairs. My heart is so filthy, Lord. It's so unclean. Lord, I give my heart to you entirely. This is what you must do. Be sorry for your rebellion. Be sorry for your attitude and indifference and in your ingratitude to God. Confess your sins, repent of your sins, and be willing to surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him and his forgiving love. And if you're sincere, he will hear your prayer and he will greatly bless you. All that I've spoken, all the benefits you will experience. Give your life to the Savior and you will never look back. Amen.